Good evening, folks. Tonight's reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the whole chapter. So let's get started. Reading from verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples that were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that the food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put in front of you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. I follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Ian, thank you for that lengthy reading, but important reading. We're going to be dipping in and out of this passage this evening, so if you've opened an app or you've got a Bible open, please keep it open. Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Father, we thank you for your Word to us. Lord, we just ask you to speak from it to us into our lives today. Lord, be a lamp to our path. Teach us, we pray. Open our ears, open our hearts. Let me share what you've given to reflect on this evening, and may it all be for the glory of Jesus. Amen. I wonder if you regularly watch Who Do You Think You Are? It's now in its 14th series. It started running in 2004. Does anyone dip into it from time to time? Okay. Can you recall any particular favourites? You know, there's a program that picks on a celebrity and goes back into their family history and traces their roots. And some of it can be quite fascinating. Anybody get any favourites that they've watched? Okay. Well, I remember one early on, and I think I went and watched it because I saw something written up about it in the press. Matthew Pinsent. He didn't realise that he actually had royal blood in his veins. And his family tree eventually paralleled the royal family when he went back a few generations. But we see many interesting things as we look at people's lives. I wonder what would happen if we went to the church at Corinth and picked various people out of that congregation and did their family trees. It would be interesting. They're not celebrities. From all sorts of backgrounds. You'll know from last week, Andrew mentioned a little bit about the background of Corinth. At the time, it was the principal city in Greece. It was very much a commercial center. It was also a religious center. There was a lot of cultural stuff going on. It very much had a party atmosphere. And as a Roman city, there'd be a great mix of different people. Because we know that the Roman army and the Roman armies of occupation move people around. And you would find people from Gaul, that's France, you'd find people from far out in Asia, all in Corinth. Lots of different nationalities and people. So if we studied ancestry, would we find any Jewish blood? Perhaps a little. We know that when Paul first went into Corinth, as was his norm, he went to the synagogue to start, to share there with his own people, the Jews. But he got booted out after the first couple of weeks. We learn that there are one or two who were converted. But in the main, this is a Gentile church. This is a church made up of people who have come to the Christian faith, coming from pagan backgrounds, coming from Gentile backgrounds. A Gentile church. There would be lots of interesting stories because a lot of the people in that church would have slave backgrounds. There was a lot of cult prostitutes in the town. So there'd be interesting backgrounds. When we look at the passage this evening, and look at the first verse of Corinthians 10, Paul says this, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors, Paul, a learned Jew from a Jewish background, talking to a largely Gentile congregation, and he says, our ancestors. He's saying, my people are now your people. I'm from a Jewish background. But since you've become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the same background as I have. And then he goes on to talk about some of the experiences that our people had in their history. The experience of the Exodus. He says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They drank and ate bread. He's referring to the cloud that guided, the pillar of fire that guided, God's Spirit. He's talking about the time they went through the Jordan when they're baptized. And as we think of these things, and as the Corinthians thought about it, they immediately see the parallel with Jesus' teaching. John 3:5, where Jesus said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit." And when he says they ate the same spiritual food and drink, he was talking about the experience of the ancients when Moses tapped the rock and the water came forth. The bread, when the supernatural provision of manna was made, and they were able to eat where there was no food. But the Corinthians would see the parallel with the Last Supper that they loved partaking of, the food and drink in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking of a common experience, a shared experience. John 6:30, a Pharisee comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, what sign can you give so that we can see and believe in you and know that you're the Messiah?" And Jesus said in answer, "Very truly I tell you, it isn't Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread from God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life into this world." What Jesus is saying, what Paul is explaining, is that as Christians, we're experiencing something parallel to what the ancient people experienced, the ancient people of God. But it's also a sequence, not just in parallel. The first Exodus established Israel as God's people. But Israel's story led on, as we know, to the tremendous events concerning the Messiah when Jesus came. And now Jesus' people, us, the church at Corinth, the church here at Fullwood today, are God's renewed Israel. And these events are coming through in a new way to us. Jesus knew, as the Pharisee asked him that question, that his heart was hard. Paul in verse 5 in this passage says, "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. They had seen God working in supernatural ways in the Exodus. They'd seen him leading in the pillar and the fire. They'd seen his provision in the manna. They'd seen the water rushing out of the rock. But they set their hearts against God." Verse 6, Corinthians, they set their hearts on evil. These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil as they did. So Paul's saying to the Corinthians, this experience of the ancient people, our ancestors, is a warning to us today. They ate and drank God's supernatural provision. But still, sin was a problem. Sin is a problem today. But it's God's purpose, it's God's desire to have a holy people for himself. God has given us the first two-thirds of this book before the Messiah comes so that we can learn, as the children of Israel learnt, of God's revelation to us, who the Messiah is. Those of you who've done the Bible course or are going to come on it will be familiar, or will get very familiar, with the timeline that will come up on the screen in a second. And this timeline is used to set out the books of the Bible so we can get an understanding that there is a continuum of God's revelation. Right at the beginning, at one end, is a tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And at the other end is the tree of life in the book of Revelation. In the middle, you see the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, showing us the need of a Savior, showing us the revelation that Jesus is coming, the Gospels explaining the significance of Jesus. And if you haven't done the course, you're very welcome to come join that. We're doing it on Thursday, starting this week, on Thursday night at 7:30 in Cyprus. But Paul is reminding us here of the relevance of the Old Testament. We can only fully understand what Jesus has done for us when we understand what's in the Old. There are many lessons that the Corinthians had to learn. Verse 12, Paul asks them this question: if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. And the question to us this evening is, how well are we representing the Lord Jesus? Paul could have gone on to talk about the Old Testament examples of many who started well, but then there were issues. There's David, a man after God's own heart, and yet we know he succumbed to temptation with Bathsheba, and he fell, was restored. But his son Solomon, again, his heart was turned towards other gods, and he didn't carry on. Started well. He's saying to us, if you think you're standing firm, be careful not to fall. Keep standing. Keep accountable. Keep strategies in place to help us to stand. Deal well with temptation. It's a battle out there. It's a battle to stay standing firm. But he calls us to stay standing firm. But in that battle, verse 13, God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's speaking to a church that knew what it was to be infilled with the Holy Spirit, who knew that since Jesus had come as Messiah and left the Holy Spirit with the church, there was the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit, that God has given us the ability to overcome temptation. God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Temptation is common to all of us. God's ancient people dealt with temptation again and again and fell. There's no cure on the NHS for sin, but there is Jesus for us who take him as Lord and as Savior. He will give us the way out. We can overcome in him. Several times in this passage, he also talks about bread and wine, eating and drinking, talking of the Lord's Supper, as we mentioned a moment ago. The Corinthians loved the Lord's Supper. Later on in 2 Corinthians, Paul was to talk about abuse of the Lord's Supper. But here he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. That's verse 21. What's he saying to us? I believe he's very simply saying to us, we can't have two masters. We can't sup with the enemy, so to speak, and sup with the Lord. For God's ancient people, there was always a danger of contamination. They're always having to deal with the issue of other nations' gods that they so easily went to and were attracted to. They were contaminated by things around. How easy it is for us to be contaminated by the things of the world. We're not to serve two masters. Last week, Andrew spoke on the whole issue of eating meat in the market. As you'll recall, most of the meat that was available had at some point in its journey from the slaughterhouse, being dedicated in the temple, dedicated to other gods. And Paul had said, all things are good in God's creation to eat. I can eat without condemnation. I can live in freedom. I'm no longer subject to the old rules and the old ways. God has given me that freedom. I can overcome the enemy. While he's saying, don't become contaminated, he's saying it is an issue to pick up and be in a world where there is contamination. We have to be in the world, but we're not of the world. And as we move towards the end of the passage, verse 31, it's all about God's glory. He's coming back full circle to the beginning when he talks about the example of the ancestors. God's whole purpose with his ancient people in bringing them out of Exodus was that they would be his special people, that they would be his glory in the nations, that the nations would see God's purposes and God's ways worked out through his people. And we know that wasn't the case, that again and again, sin got into the life of the nation and anything but gave the glory to God. But Paul is calling Corinth, he's calling us to live for God's glory. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, Jew, Greek. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Very similar to what Jesus said in John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So we're called to learn the lessons of the past. We're called to live freely and in Christ and enjoy all that he has provided. We're called not to delude ourselves with the ways of this world, but to be effective for him. We're called to break the cycle of sin and disobedience and live out our lives for his glory. And finally, in the first verse of chapter 11, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's called us to be free. He's now saying, stay free and live your life in such a way that you're so free that others can follow you. Are we in that place? Other people will be watching us. Other people will be looking on. Are we a good example of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we worthy of being watched? Are we worthy of setting an example of him who gave his all for us? Am I fixed on Jesus? Have I learnt the lessons of our ancestors, the lessons of Scripture? Am I fixed on him? And So the call to all of us is to be fixed on Jesus, to look to him as the example. But if there are others that we see that are living in a godly way, to follow them and to follow their example, to find good mentors, those that we can follow, those that we can seek their support and their example as we work out what it is to follow the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of Paul, who learned so much of your word and sought to explain it and sought to make it clear how you revealed yourself right across the Old Testament and in the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a way to live in freedom. Lord, help us to live in that freedom. Help us to be an example to others. Help us to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.